Welcome to Ever Beyond, broadcast through the Wolf Spirit Media Network. Be prepared to leave your belief systems behind as we go beyond teachers, beyond gurus, beyond duality, ever beyond, Please join us in the chat room at www.wolfspiritradio.com/listen. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
Yes, you are. Wolf Spirit Radio, you are listening to. I'm going to turn up my headphones. Oh, that's better. Oh, that's much better. I couldn't hear anything. I'm straining it. Like, why couldn't I hear myself? Anyway, that's much better. I can hear myself with my headphones. And we have a beautiful Zoom connection with no interference, perfect audio, and full color. 640, no, at least 720 pixels of communication live in real time, 15 frames a second, all good. That's really good because I wanna get my guest tonight because those of you who have been listening to my shows for the last few years, I've got this, essentially I'm on a quest. I'm looking for answers to a particular thing, that was opened up for me several years ago with somebody doing an innocent reading on me and like this big story came out. I thought, wow, that's a bit strange. What's all that about? This whole journey has taken me through, my own inner journey, inner transformation, inner quest, which also ends up on other planets, in other times, in other dimensions, and all sorts of other stuff in that way. So, last year, about July, about a year ago, I had a particular series of emotional events which opened up an avenue. It opened up a domain of feeling that took me back an unbelievable amount of time. And this search, it was like I went back on a river of tears, a river of sadness. And suddenly I saw it all. I saw an invasion. I saw pain and suffering. I felt the pain and suffering. It was like everybody. And I felt the guilt and the, you know, those who couldn't have done enough or weren't able to do anything. There was the complacency. There was, and then there was also this determination is, you know, it's like, you know, the only way it translates is I will kill you all. And you know, it was a personal feeling, that has reverberated in my own lifetime. Although I like to think of myself as a pretty peaceful person, that feeling, sort of emerged, very strangely, you know, about a year ago. And I realized that this was the impulse that, created the Pleiadians, the future Pleiadians who come back and who are the time traveling ones, are, you know, blowing up Maldek and making strategic strikes in and around, you know, the environment of the galactic war between the humans and the Dracos. So, you're with me so far. So, to this end, I've been bringing people onto my show who have show, who I've heard, I hear that little ding-ling-ling-ling, you know, there's another fragment of this same story, and this same story keeps coming up from lots of different people, from different avenues, from different histories, from personal, inner research, in the internet, of memory and feeling and regressions and that entire database. It's a subjective database. And subjectivity is a problem with a lot of people. You know, how do you know that that's real? Or how do you know that this is an actual history? Who can say? So to that end, I listen and somebody sent me a message a few weeks ago saying, oh, you've got to listen to this guy. And I did. And you spoke to Randy Morgans, who was a colleague of mine from years back. So I thought I'd check it out. Within about 15 minutes, he had me. So I thought, right, okay, I'm not going to listen anymore. Let's get the guy on the show and we'll cover this thing because it's exactly what I've been looking for a long time. Now, having taken about 12 minutes in to introduce, I'd like to introduce my guest tonight, because he's been waiting there patiently smiling. This is Ever Beyond, and tonight we're talking with Robert Scott Lemriel, or otherwise Scott Lemriel, and we're going to be talking that kind of stuff. So, good evening, Robert. Dad, I'll try again. Good evening, Scott, let me see.
That's good. Good evening, JP. Good to be here. People have recommended you to me for some time.
Yes, really.
And I think a few people contacted you on my behalf, and then I endeavored to contact you. And it's very fortuitous, I would say, especially along the lines of everything you've been talking about.
Okay, so leaving off from where I began, there was a Lyran war. That's the context of the last billion years or so, I don't know. I say a billion years. It might be a billion years in somebody's time space, but who can say what years are? Cause they're very local, when we're talking about stars. So, where does your journey begin and how did you get here?
I came on a journey, on a mission to this planet more than 60 years ago to start a process with the human population here and from human beings that are living in other world systems primarily to begin a transformation. Many people know the histories of how Eisenhower was contacted and other people and it's all classified, etc. And my particular mission here was intercepted, which goes back into a treaty between two galactic alliance forces, those that are tyrant and those that are benevolent. My mission came as a result of really ended up becoming what it is today because of what occurred 500,000 years ago in our galaxy when a great war came to an end. It's along the lines of what you're talking about, JP, but a lot of people really haven't been able to get off planet out in the universe and research that history for themselves. I mean, let's face it, words are just words, but really what matters to me in my work and anyone else is that people have the opportunity to have the direct awakening experiences about what I talk about for themselves. So my work is all about that. When I was maybe 3 years old in Utah, walking up the steps to my parents' brick house, I had quite profound experience happen. I was suddenly out of that little body. I was never really in it anyway, always hovering above it. And I awoke to having a completely conscious, human, male, mature awareness from the Pleiades, not from here. And I looked up and I could see a sphere of golden energy. It was transparent above my head. And in it were geometric formulas, mathematical equations, positions of the star patterns in the heavens. And I knew all this stuff, just like walking down the street. And I looked and I saw the star patterns and I said to myself, Earth, what am I doing on Earth? This is what started my journey because I wasn't supposed to be here wondering why I was here. And that goes into why a few years back I wrote the book, The Sayres Agenda. And it looks like this. It has a special technique section in the back. It took me 4 years of publishing to get that book done with this special technique section in the back, because it provides a way for people to actually begin to recover in a special protected way that was not available before, exploring what's revealed there for themselves and beginning to awaken and have their own direct experiences with it. That's what began my journey. I didn't really get into that body until I had this experience. And then years later, as I was growing up, I had direct contact experiences with benevolent extraterrestrials, good-hearted people. I didn't have any experiences with abductions with little grays or anything like this. And one of the things I want to share with your friends and you tonight is those kinds of things have been suspended permanently. No matter what you see on the news out there, people are not being abducted anymore. People are talking about past stories. That kind of thing has come to an end. And we'll get into that if you like. As I went on in my journey, I had a pretty profound experience when I was 21, or many others I won't get into, driving through the desert with a man and his wife and their newborn baby on a little spiritual journey. And we went through the Southwest, driving through the highway across the Salt Flats toward Salt Lake City at 3 a.m. in the morning. They were playing a country, kind of a country station. They like country music, and I was in the back seat. And I got this communication from somebody named Monka, who was a human extraterrestrial, and he says, I want you to be aware of something. I was kind of startled, but I was peaceful. I didn't fear any fear. I didn't have any threat.
Hang on a second.
What's happened here? Wait a minute. What's going on? What's going on? All right. Okay. Stop that. That one. Whoa.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
That was very interesting. I don't know why that might have happened.
It's interesting.
Yeah, that's suddenly, that fired up. I'll have to edit that out, when I get the recording. So, please excuse me. Meanwhile,
I was asked to tell my friends that I was getting a contact with a benevolent extraterrestrial. I thought of them that way at the time. And they were on a spiritual journey anyway, so we pulled the car over the side of the road. And this being said, I want you all to see something. And he said, just turn off the car and look out the window. Meanwhile, the radio station blurred through the dial like someone was tuning the channel to a frequency where we could hear a commander at the local Air Force base ordering two Black Hawk helicopters in stealth mode to go out over the desert and find something they'd picked up on radar. We could hear this through our radio. And so we looked, and he says, I want you to look up above the desert over the Salt Flats. Look up in the sky, maybe 10,000 feet, and watch. So we did that. In the next instant, there was a blinding flash of cobalt blue light, lit up the whole desert, and then it shot straight into the ground as if it was going to crash and explode. Of course, it didn't. It vanished. And these two helicopters flew right over the top of our car out over the desert, and we could hear them communicating with the base commander that they couldn't detect or find anything, and he was really angry. So after that experience, we sat for a while, looked at each other, turned on the radio, went back to the country station, and we started the car and drove away into the night. These kinds of events began my journey to recovering what was done to me when I was on a journey here on a mission that was intercepted. That mission was intercepted by what you call Dracos. This was at a time would have been around 1953, maybe 54. Long time ago for Earth standards. And so it conspired me to continue the journey to find out what this was about. I didn't have any threats, but I was getting some kind of protection, at least a marginal amount of it throughout my life. There is a treaty that goes back 500,000 years, which was written and put together after this great war. And it's been policed ever since in our galaxy. If you know anything about tyrant races or tyrant extraterrestrial races who weren't always that way, then they will try or be compelled to try subconsciously to find ways to get new property and slaves and territory, breaking that treaty just short of going to all-out war, because they lost the last one, and they would lose again if that occurred. Unfortunately, many planets and billions of people would be killed in the process. So this kind of Cold War has been going on for a very long time. It has been policed. There have been craft shot down in our atmosphere, like the one in Roswell and many others, that weren't shot down by our military. And people ask me, what do you mean? Well, it means that we didn't have the technology to deal with those kinds of craft at the time. But what was shot down were little guys going about trying to do something very despicable, and they were caught. Better to lose a few minion pilots than expose who's really behind it. So this kind of thing had been going on for quite some time. I had a lot of out-of-body experiences throughout my life because of that one I had when I was 3. These were fully conscious experiences, and of course I wanted to know, well, why don't I have the ability to do it at will? Shouldn't I? I seem to remember that I used to be able to, and that this was quite common. And as I researched things and had more contacts with these beings, over many years I wrote a trilogy of books called the Parallel Time Trilogy. The first book is called The Emerald Doorway. That's this one. The Emerald Doorway is really a disclosure of an ancient history of Earth and our solar system, going back a little bit before the last polar shift that wiped out Lemuria and then a very large colony continent of Atlantis, not the one most people remember. It goes back further. And the planet was reseeded under treaty by different races. Both benevolent and tyrant or imperial bloodline races have been able to have small colonies on this planet, all the way back to Sumeria and way before that in ancient history, for mining and doing different things and for basically for scientific research, and it's been very carefully monitored. This is under treaty, so Earth has really never been allowed to be dominated by any one extraterrestrial race, good or bad. They've tried, but it's never been allowed. So we have an ancient civilization like Sumeria and Egypt, Yucatan, Mayan, Aztec, all imperial bloodline races that demanded sacrifice. These are the ones people are taught in school. Well, where are all the other civilizations that had pockets on this earth that were benevolent, that aren't revealed in our present culture at all? People talk about a manipulated media. This is one of the results of it. People know about Lemuria, which was a real place and was destroyed. But they don't know about the other history that goes back 50 million years after the dinosaurs were made extinct. There's a history here of extraterrestrial colonization on this planet that is missing, or I should say rather suppressed, in the population of human beings on this planet. It is not suppressed, however, whatsoever, in the human cultures and other races out there in our galaxy. Over time, I began to get in contact with a galactic alliance of world systems. It's centered near the core of our galaxy. It does have relationships with Andromeda and other galaxies. It's made up of more than 450 million plus highly evolved spacefaring races in just one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy. And Earth people have been suppressed from knowing anything about it. What I'm sharing with you, JP, is that people on Earth, everyone, at one time that's living here today once knew this stuff really well. That goes back into how we got here, why we're here, and how we're about to get out of this mess, which is what started me on this particular mission I'm on now. 60 years late, doesn't matter. At least it's beginning. Only this time, it's beginning with a certain protection that we didn't have before about, say, 6.5 years ago Earth time. That's very important. So when I get on radio shows like this with you, JP, and others, whether it's Coast to Coast or Art Bell or John B. Wells or Rob McConnell out of Canada, Exxon Radio, any of this stuff.
John B. He's got the voice, man. He's got the radio voice. John B. Wells.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. And I like him. Anyway, when I get on these things, we don't have radio interruptions or interference from black ops or any kind of threats. And I don't get any and won't. There's a reason for that. One of the things I like to bring to the table, like on a show like this, and maybe I will be able to get this across to people I have met, like Simon Parks and Alex Collier. Met Alex Collier at a couple years back at Mount Shasta Conference, where I did a presentation as well. Simon Parks I've met by Skype via Ted Marr's Galactic Wisdom Conference, the third one in Washington. I was also a speaker there. And I got to meet Simon Parks through a Skype connection. So what I try to do is bring to the table of people who are doing such good work to try to reveal the truth for themselves and for the rest of humanity, a certain connection or an understanding of how they can co-creatively connect to gain this protection I'm talking about and continue their work without those kinds of interferences. It just drops them. In other words, there are forces at work now in our solar system that suspend this government and hidden government's control of certain satellites and systems, and they don't know how it's being done. But it is. It's not a threat to them. The beings I work with aren't out for blood or wanting to harm an elite on this planet. They want to get them free from the subconscious implanted programs that are running in them that compel them to be diabolical. This is largely what my work is about. Any questions you want to go into a certain area along this line?
Well, one of the things you were talking about in this interview with Randy was what, you know, pinged on my ears. And that was the, all right, you were talking about somewhere in the galaxy, there was a group who were experimenting with the ability to use DNA. I'm a bit unclear about it. It's the one about trauma, about being able to release trauma. This is my thing. Right. I believe that humans are still suffering from PTSD from the original shock of the original invasion. And if we can get beyond that, then we don't get mind controlled ever again. That's my theory.
And your perceptions are spot on.
Thank you.
I can only confirm them. When I talk, I don't expect people to take my words or what I say at face value. When I go to conferences around the world these days, I actually involve the attendees in a special session that connects them up and helps them begin to, of their own true creative free will, by the way, connect with beings who are kind, very ancient, capable of reversing all this program nonsense that was done to us. Most people that are on Earth today, in fact, all the human beings on this planet did not originate here, JP. No human being ever evolved on this planet in the first place.
That's my feeling.
Human beings are actually one of the, if not the oldest, one of the oldest races in existence, billions and billions of years old, originally evolved on other world systems out in the galaxies and were brought here under one scenario or another, going back in galactic history. This planet is very unique because of what happened when Maldek was destroyed in our solar system and what chain of events that set in motion. It's created a situation where the poles of this planet flip overnight every 100,000 years, just like clockwork. There have been six ice ages in 600,000 years. This event is so disastrous that, you know, you see tidal waves 1,000 miles high at, you know, 800 miles an hour, and earthquakes that we can't even measure. Continents sink, the floor rises up to form new continents. And it's a very violent and very rapid event. It's not slow at all. The Russian and American scientists during detente under Gorbachev, this was even on Channel 4, I think it was, on TV back 30 years ago, 35 years ago, whenever detente was, they got together as a friendly thing around the area when the Berlin Wall was falling, and they got the Soviet scientists and U.S. scientists together, and they used oil-based technology to drill down and take deep core samples in some of the deepest places on Earth, Death Valley, Arabian Desert, Mongolia, all these different places. They took these core samples of compacted dirt out of these long tubes, cut them into discs about 2 inches wide, and put them in a centrifuge and spun them. Now, the principle is that when molten lava cools, the crystalline matrix of the matter that makes it up aligns itself with the magnetic fields. So they can even determine from lava coming out of the big volcano in Hawaii, when it cools, it will do the same thing. And you can determine a history. And what they did is they found around the world universally that at a certain depth, all over the world, the magnetic fields of this planet were 180 degrees opposite of where they are today. And as they put it out in the news, it was 80 to 120,000 years. They didn't want to specify an exact time, but it actually is very symmetrical. Okay, so then what scared them was they determined that when they dug deeper that this was cyclic, and it got classified that afternoon. The next day I called the TV station, tried to get a copy of that. They said, I'm sorry, it's been classified. They can't even release it. And it ended right there. So this is some of the stuff that I came across. I already knew about this, but to get it validated briefly on TV was very important for me. This is something people don't know. They don't want it known because it deals with extraterrestrials, polar shifts. All of it goes back into galactic history. So they want to classify and keep quiet anything that they don't have the power to control, basically. If there's forces out there greater than them, they try to make treaties with them, good or bad, and then carry on doing exploration and research to reverse engineer either technology they've captured or had given to them, and try to come up to a place where we can play as equals in the universe. But they're doing it through a classified covert system, which has no future. What do I mean by that? I mean simply this. We're going to get back to this DNA issue. I have not forgotten it. A classified system requires that people deceive the populace. I can tell you for a fact from my own direct experience that the millions upon millions of world systems out there in our galaxy today do not use money. It's outlawed. It's created as an artificial means of trade by tyrants. That's out there, not here. And their governments are benevolent. So they don't work with barter systems either, because tyrants can get dominant over that as well. It's not out there. It's not like Earth is at all. And if the world's population were exposed to that, and they're going to be anyway, and the consciousness awareness within people is changed so they can remember when they used to know this, this world will change quite rapidly. Now we go back to this DNA. What I was referring to in Randy Muggins' program is that certain genomes on the DNA of beings that have been brought here, forced to be incarnating in bodies here, and made to forget everything they once knew over time, one serious scenario or another, have also had certain genomes on the DNA shut off. They're just switches. In other words, on Earth, they've mapped out the genome. There's over a billion genomes on the DNA of human beings. They know there's over a billion. They think that some of it, at some one time, they thought there was some of it which was junk DNA. Now they've revised that because they know it's not junk. It's just turned off. Genomes are like switches. If you know the precise frequencies and the science to turn off and on these switches, you can turn off and on the genomes. For instance, you can turn off the one that says, I live normally 1,000 to 20,000 years like human beings do on other worlds. And they do. They have the ability to get in and out of their bodies at will from birth, and their societies and parents and benevolent governments encourage this. They don't forget their other lives when they're born into a lifetime. This is something that they consider normal. To me, this is a normal human being. People on Earth as human beings think they're normal and think they have free will, but they aren't, and they don't. For the most part, most people don't really have true free will, because if they did, they would be able to utilize their highest faculty of direct knowing perception and be able to look out in the universe telepathically, because that's a normal function, and know things and connect with things out there, and there wouldn't be a mystery of any of this to anyone here. It wouldn't even take technology. Telepathy, not psychic stuff. Telepathy works on a pure channel of energy, on the primordial energy that underlies the whole universe, and it is not limited by time and space. That's the first thing tyrants want to shut down in people. What do we have now? Intuition, when it should be clear telepathy. When I'm talking with you now, one of the beings that I work with, fortunately he works with me, is named Ambassador Torellian. Torellian is a human from a race that is many billions of years old. He's energetically, I suppose you'd say they're 18 to 25 feet tall, much, much taller than humans on Earth. And they actually immortalized their physical bodies over a billion years ago. They were responsible, the Seyrays, for populating and seeing life like reptilian and gray and tall white and human, humanoid, and many other races and species throughout the physical galaxy of the Milky Way, many other galaxies, and the entire astral plane, the next plane up, a long time ago. And they nurtured these races up to spacefaring capacity and then stepped back. In other words, they just vanished to see what we would do with all this. They were responsible for this. The Seyrays were not tyrants. The Seyrays didn't create the misuse of technology called implants. Okay, they just simply didn't get involved until fairly recently in this galaxy at all. And what happened to them out there? What changed their consciousness and the beings beyond them and the entire Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds, which what it's really called in English, at the core of our galaxy? It's a much bigger organization than the ones that have been recently. Yeah, the Galactic Interdimensional Alliance of Free Worlds.
That's incredible. I had another reading once that said, who's my boss? And she said, something like the Galactic Free Alliance. So I've actually created the galacticfreealliance.com, and it's just got
chat. Oh, wonderful.
It's just got chat rooms with clubs beneath it. So it's like there's a Lyran Club, Pleiadian Club, Arcturian Club, I've got Sirius, it was hard to get Sirius Club, so I think I got Sirian.club, and who else was there? Andromedans, of course, yes. So the group of benevolent races that, I'm aware of. I know there are many, many more,
Oh yeah. Isn't it interesting that you created that group, right?
Yeah, interesting, huh?
Galactic Alliance of Free Will. There's a little more to it.
You're
just missing the interdimensional.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Do I say interdimensional? The reason that's in that title is because here's what a lot of people don't understand. You've heard of parallel dimensions before. The more advanced spacefaring races, because of the nature of the what we call anti-gravity, the way they propel their ships, the way they travel through interdimensional doorways they open, their understanding of the natural ones that occur in creation and the ones they can open artificially. They traverse and have trade with benevolent worlds in over 140, well, actually exactly 144 parallel dimensions of the physical universe. They actually travel their physical worlds with people on them, not just the ones you could see through Hubble in the physical light spectrum we see here. That matter we see of those stars and those planets are all vibrating at the same time rate, molecularly. If you slightly raise the molecular time rate of that matter, it becomes a parallel. It becomes a shim or another entire universe that's connected through little openings. And that gets into how they're fed and survive from higher dimensions. And these ships and craft can travel between them. Even the tyrants can travel through a number of the lower ones. And they can travel between them and establish trade. So when I say there's 450 plus million spacefaring benevolent inhabited races and planets, actually, in just one quarter of our Milky Way galaxy, that's what I'm referring to.
And that's what they call a sector. Is that a sector, that quarter of the galaxy?
Well, yeah, that would be a sector. Yes. Like a quarter sector.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, now there's 144 of these parallel realities in each of the major divisions. In the physical, there's the 144. Then in the astral, and there's a major division barrier there, and you go through it, there's another 144, each made of finer matter, and it goes up the planes. And then till it goes across what's known as the void to the Buddhists, they don't think there's anything beyond that. But there is a lot more. And they're all made of a pure positive energy, and it goes back. We all came from there.
And it just keeps
going. Everything that exists. Yes. Well, it does have new things are being created, new realities very high up. I've been involved with those in recent years. The DNA, to get back to this story, why it got done goes back to this galactic war, and this is going to surprise you. Back then, there was a race called, well, they were like Dracos, but they were white-winged. You've heard of them, I think. You've heard of the white-winged ones. They weren't from this reality. They got snuck into here from a parallel dimension. They were a warrior race, very arrogant. They were white-winged. Their cousins here were not. The first thing they did was get control of these vegetarian Dracos, by the way, back then, who were great contributors to the Galactic Alliance. Remember, all these races were originally brought up into being from the Sei race, who helped nurture all of them over several billion years. They didn't create them to be tyrants. This white ring race did have an influence in this particular reality upon them. What they did is they captured a human world. This began this war we're talking about. People don't know what started it. They captured a human world of scientists that had developed a technology to keep beings being born on other planets from ever acquiring and being vulnerable to acquire a subconscious mind. What do I mean by that? I mean, normal human beings out in the galaxy do not have a subconscious mind at all. Anything that's subconscious means something can be put there and you can be manipulated through it without you being aware of it. They took this technology.
Is that because, as you were talking about before, and I wanted to jump in at that point and say, the words that my people have used is continuity of consciousness. This is that they don't have things like dreams that they forget in the morning because it's They're consciously, they're awake continuously. They don't go to sleep in that way.
Yeah. You're completely correct. That's right. And more than that, when people talk about the astral plane, the emotional plane, all emotion comes from the next dimension up. We don't generate emotions in these bodies like people mistakenly think. People are living, we are multidimensional beings. We are living lives on all of these other planes to learn how to be trustworthy, conscious co-creators with what people call the source. Because as Atmas, what people call soul, we're made of exactly the same energy as it. And we have no beginning or end. We all came from that source. And so in reality, we're all responsible for this experiment we call evil. At one time, it looked to be pretty good billions of years ago, hundreds of billions of years ago. And it's a failed experiment. It never worked. These lower dimensions were designed to become mirrors, beautiful gardens of the upper worlds beyond the void of the Buddhists. And it never worked out because of this experiment. So what's going on now, and the reason I'm doing my work, is out among the stars, something changed in the consciousness of those beings in recent years that has compelled them or motivated them to get back involved with turning this planet and other worlds around, because they now have a way to remove the tyrant subconscious implanted control mechanisms in tyrant races out in space. Because if you don't solve the problem there, it'll just come back here. Over and over and over again. So when you think about how conscious beings are in other worlds, they're not only aware of their life, say in the Pleiades walking around on their world and they have children, they're aware of what they're doing in these other planes and they have communication with the other aspects of themselves. We're supposed to be like that as human beings. All that's been closed down in people deliberately. A lot of people are compelled to reincarnate on this planet with no memory of the other lives they've had prior. This is, they think it's normal. It's God's will. It is not, and it's not normal. I think you know that, JP. It's not normal at all. The religious constructs on this planet were created by tyrant ruling kings to control people. You know that. Okay, so the DNA that shut down goes back to a process that these reptilians did to pervert a science, to create a holographic program that contains images of terror, death, torture, and domination by a reptilian superior race. That's how they impress it. There's nothing real in it. It's artificial. It's planted in the electromagnetic field that surrounds each being. I'm not talking about the body, not the little chips under the skin. Each being is spherically shaped, each atma or soul, and runs a body. The field of energy it emanates out from it that people see as the aura is an electromagnetic field. Holographic implants are placed out there. It's through those images people look to get deceived and misdirected in decisions they make, like colored images they're not conscious of. Because an implant made put in the subconscious has two things occluded. You don't see or hear it. You just feel the terror subconsciously. It's a very clever, nasty, diabolical device to control people if you want slaves. In addition to doing that to the being, not the body, and compelling to incarnate in bodies here, unconscious life after life, the certain genomes on the bodies that are here have been shut down so that telepathy is reduced in most people. Photographic memory, which we all should have, is either shut down in most people, maybe partially left open in others. Telepathy is shut down, and age is reduced to 80 to 100 years from when it was 1,000 to 20. This is what tyrants have done. This is all reversible. And I think this is getting back to what you were trying to look at earlier, JP, reversing this process. Because of what happened, that's what inspired me to start to write this book. I'm telling you the truth. When I started to write this
book,
it was about
the series of genocides.
S-E-R-E-S. It's pronounced Sayrays as if it was spelled S-A-Y hyphen R-A-Y-S.
Sayrays, yes. I've got all these problems with pronunciation tonight. Hold on. So, Sayrays, the Sayrays agenda.
Sayrays, yeah. This tells the story from an off-world perspective of what happened not only to me, but to everyone else, and more importantly, what's changed out in the galaxy to reverse all this, which has ended abductions. The reptilian race, the Dracos that people fear, are no longer on this planet. They've been escorted out of this solar system. So you've got a classified system in government that's planning to go out in space and colonize with an elite that will never happen. They have no future there for two reasons, and they're becoming very aware of this. One reason, their imperial off-world supporters have been detached from them. Now they're left on their own. They're running on automatic subconscious implants. That's still running them, and that's destructive. They have no future out there because space is already occupied by far more advanced races. So they really can't go out there and play in the stars the way they're running things now as a classified, deceptive, lying government and all that. That has no future. It's naturally going to come to an end because it doesn't really have one. So that's something I wanted to get across to people tonight, is that's underway. The ending of that kind of regime, that kind of misuse of technology, and their supporters off-world, they've been extricated out of here. So you're going to see a series of events coming up here, just like Donald Trump, something that was never expected to happen. I'm not for or against saying anything about him, but that election in prophesied or predicted history was not meant to happen. It just means that things are changing in ways that are unexpected. You're going to see a lot more of this. When radiation was coming to the Pacific Northwest from Fukushima a few years back, a friend of mine, a radio show host, Ted Marr, did some experiment, got some water, had it tested through the state of California, and we found that the rads were climbing from 60 rads upward. And then some friends of mine began to intervene in this, as they have all along, and one day all the radiation in the ocean just vanished. It measured zero. It never came ashore. Fukushima was a far worse disaster than anybody's letting anybody know. But you know there's only one person that died of radiation from the entire Fukushima event? Only one. Everyone else over 7,000 or 15,000, they died from the tsunami. Now there's a reason for that. These events should have been far more destructive. But certain things have stepped in to neutralize this. You know, during the Cold War, there were 12 separate times when both sides actually pushed the button to annihilate this planet that we're classifying. And each time that happened, three ships would hover over the launch facilities here and in the Soviet Union and shut down the launch computers. And they did that. So again, that's not something militaries on our planet could control. Fortunately, because that occurred, we're all still alive. Is there anything else you wanted to go into about the DNA thing?
Yeah, essentially you were talking about
a technique that had been developed by a race. This goes way back, and it's about one of the DNA strands. Now, you mentioned before that you can switch DNA on and off, and you just That's need right. the frequencies. So presumably, the frequencies to turn all this stuff off, to turn it into junk DNA, to use their thing, is there some kind of frequency blanket that is covering the Earth? How long does it take for a DNA strand to switch on or off? Is it instant? Does it take time to warm up? You know, so like transistors or valves. Can you tell us basically go back into the story that you're talking to Randy about, but maybe with a little more detail, like who were they? What was their planet like? Stuff like that. If you can.
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned, it was during the war that a tyrant race captured a human planet and perverted their science to create things called implants. Implants are holographic energy constructs that have sound and sight and motion and everything you want to program into it. And then they create an artificial barrier. It's an energy barrier laced throughout the electromagnetic field surrounding a being. Not the soul, not the Atma. The energy field that extends from it is where these are placed. You can't really do anything to an Atma or soul. It's pure energy. You can't destroy it. You can't really do it, but you can affect what it looks through, what it perceives through. So that is placed there in a subconscious way so that when a person tries to get back to what they are as an Atma or soul, what they are as a being, get in out of the body, remember all they used to know in the galaxy, this primary implant will play on the nervous system with sight and sound occluded. So you just feel the terror of what's in it, and it misdirects people and drives them away from getting to the core of what they should have a normal access to. This is how implants work. The military industrial complex started to investigate little electronic implants to control consciousness. They were doing it originally to try to get undone what was done to them without their permission. Tyrants first contact the hidden elite on a planet, get them controlled and get them to control elected leaders, and then they control the people. That way you don't need bunches of ships coming here to steal resources. You create a treaty and you have resources shipped off world under a classified space program for 65 years, which has been going on. Why? To get more antiquated extraterrestrial technology. That's it. And it's a dirty deal because the motivations of the beings that sign such contracts with people of Earth are not sincere. They want to take over and they want to eliminate 3/4 of the planet. They haven't been able to do that, but they have tried. 500 million people are much more easily controllable as slaves than 7.5 billion. Now, that's something that has not been allowed to take place either. This is 2017 going on 2018. We haven't had any above ground testing of nuclear weapons, not in North Korea or in Pakistan or India. It's for decades since they were banned. Let's see. I lost the video there.
Yeah. I'm having a bit of, things are going a little bit crackly here. So, listen, Scott, we're at the top of the hour and, I'd like to take a break, and you may need to, take a break, and certainly I know certain members of our audience are needing to take a break. So I'm going to play this is the band that I used to play in about 10 years ago. We had no other name than our initials. It's called F Jams. This is called Half the World. Enjoy this. Bass, guitar, drums and cello.
Don't swear, but
welcome back to Ever Beyond. That was F Jams. I needed another song to make a cup of tea as well as sort the stove out and all the other attendant things that I have to do around my little farmhouse. So, tonight, this is Ever Beyond. Welcome back. We had a bit of interference with the servers, but I hope you've all, recovered that. And, let me just put my camera back on. Sometimes we get, about the top of the hour. Hi there, Robert. Scott Lemriel, I am speaking with. And
there you go.
Because it's written on here. It's written there, you see. I keep reading it and there's a thing. Here's the thing, Robert. I've always noticed that if there is, I might be driving down the countryside, but if I see a sign, my eyes will get fixated on that. If there's a word, if there are letters and words, my eyes will be pulled away from nature. Is that part of the programming?
Yeah, it's definitely a distracting thing. As part of the implant programming, I wanted to say I don't know how long the show's going to go on for, but I think you're the host. I put out a lot of information in that first hour, and I'd like you to pick things apart as the host, and I will follow your lead for the rest of this. So if there's any particular thing you want to go into, please bring it up, and we'll explore it.
Well, that's very kind, because we've got a couple of questions as well. Excuse me, coming in from the chat room, and everybody's very excited and really enjoying the show. Really enjoying the show. One of them says, "The best so far." So one of your best.
Good. That's good. That's good.
Oh, very good.
We're just getting started. We're just getting started.
Okay, so here's one question. This is from White Lizzie. Where is it? It's all the way. Were these white wings the ones that messed with time? Actually, this brings me back. There's a Doctor Who episode. Do you know Doctor Who? The British science fiction show.
Sure, of course.
And there's a lot of disclosure on that, but there was a race of, they were statues. And if you looked away from them, they would creep up on you. The episode was called Blink, if anyone's interested. But when they actually caught up with you, what they would do is they would steal your energy by sending you back in time. And but leading on from that is the question from White Lizzie, were these white wings, too many W's here, were these white wings the ones that messed with time? The white wings.
No, I wouldn't give them that much credit that they have masters of time. That's something under the control of pretty much higher beings. That doesn't mean that people haven't time traveled. They have. There are certain kind of spiritual laws, I would have to say, that govern that kind of thing. And it's looked on by beings that a lot of beings in the universe don't even know exist. The mechanics of the universe that run galaxies, keeping them in their place, portals between dimensions, higher and lower. These are called the silent ones or silent mentors. They're the mentors of the Say race, the human race I began to, prototypical race that I began to talk with about at the beginning of the show. The beings I've been in touch with directly are Galactic Alliance members, participants in and around bringing about a transformation in this galaxy for the first time in galactic history and here on this planet. Something that is underway now has never happened before in all of galactic history. Something happened out in the universe, as I mentioned, that changed the Say race. A new ray was brought into creation from those worlds which exist above the void of the Buddhists in the higher worlds. And what it does, it can exist in any of the dimensions, but it cannot be affected by any power or technology or being in those dimensions to alter its purpose, get control of it. It only works one way, and it does one thing only. When beings begin to get in touch with it, and we're going to do a technique with your permission on the show at some point, together, and for the benefit of your audience, that will begin the process of connecting them to this new ray, directly to the source with no intermediary, so that they can begin to connect with safe, advanced beings who can help reverse all this implant programming that was done to people and begin to turn it around, including turning back on the genomes, on the DNA of human bodies on Earth. That's underway. So now where was I going with that? The answer is no. I don't see the reptilian Dracos, the white-winged ones that came from a parallel dimension earlier and were defeated in a great war. And it was from help from people in Andromeda, by the way, that they were kicked out of here and sealed back in their parallel dimension. They cannot return here. The implant programs they messed with by misusing human scientists to create this implant structure, to create slaves and rob worlds and do what they did, was something that remained in them after this war ended, and a treaty was created between a great alliance of worlds that defeated them and the reptilian and several other imperial bloodline worlds that they control. Other races, grays, tall whites, things like this, and others, even some Nordic, even some human worlds that are under their domain. So it gets very confusing for people on Earth when they try to divine which is the good guys and which is the bad. Who's implanted is going to be diabolical. They can't help it. The beings I work with aren't about killing or putting anybody up against a wall like a Illuminati or something like this, because they know that what was done to them without their permission, and they cannot control what they're doing. That's very dangerous. If it hadn't been intervened with at least a little bit without total intervention in this world, we would have had a nuclear war already, long ago. So that's the good news right up front. We have help from off-world. It's not fully disclosed yet, but it is focused on doing just that. And I don't mean a false disclosure that's been planned, people have heard about. This is being controlled from off-planet, and reptilian Dracos are not involved, nor is any hidden elite or classified military-industrial complex on this planet. They're going to have to play ball and change in order to play in the stars. That's the only future we have. We're not going to have a future like Star Trek, with warp core powered ships running around with radioactive cores. There's no use of radioactive materials in space. They're outlawed. Nuclear bombs, hydrogen bombs, that's nonsense. Only tyrants would create such things illegally. That's how Hitler got that technology almost ahead of us, because of little gray influences with the scientists, who, by the way, were brought into the former Soviet Union, United States after the end of the war and pardoned. What came with those scientists was their connection to these little grays. So it didn't matter that Hitler lost. Other things still came about that nobody really wanted to happen.
Yes, my definition of the acronym NASA is Nazis are still active.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I don't worry about things like Antarctica and Nazi bases. I don't worry about things like reptilians coming here and bombing everybody into submission like Independence Day, the movie. Because the most advanced tyrant races don't do that. They never have. If you go to all-out war, sure, like we had 500,000 years ago. But they don't work that way. They get a few people in control that are high up on a planet, implant them, and they don't even need ships to police the place. There have been two ships until recently. They were hovering over the North and South Pole, reptilian, because it hides their signature. You can't detect them on radar. They're gone. There were two bases, where the main bases they had on this Earth. One was in the jungle in the Congo underground, and one was in the Amazon. Now, they still exist. There's a few reptilians still on Earth, but they're either being changed as we speak or they're being escorted off planet. They brought a bomb with them under the orders of their emperor. It's a barrel-shaped bomb, like a barrel of oil, that if it's set off, it causes the matrix in the center of the planet to implode and explode a planet. It's that kind of device that blew up Maldek, by the way, long time ago. At that time, Galactic Alliance benevolent beings did not interfere in the influence of tyrant races on worlds. There wasn't a war, but there was a war long ago. There was another brief war about 100,000 years ago out in space. It wasn't a galactic war. It was a race. It was kind of a short war between the Galactic Alliance and two totalitarian races. I reveal more about that in the Emerald Doorway book. But as an actual galactic war, we haven't had another one for about 500,000 years. So we're good there. I'm not worried about this planet being dominated by tyrants ultimately, because their day is done. They're literally been given notice. the hidden elite on this planet actually know now that they have no future in the direction they were heading. They know it. They just don't know how to get off the rock they're sitting on. They can't do it by themselves. They're not going to be harmed. They need to be freed of the tyrannical implant controls that make them behave the way they do, just like every one of us. So I'm coming from real divine love, and so are the beings I work with. This new ray that came into existence is revealed in the Ceres Agenda book. But more than that is revealed in my talks and in the book, how people can connect with it themselves and begin to recall what they've been made to forget ever so diabolically. It's not easy to confront this stuff, JP, when you go back to a war where your body was eaten violently by reptilians and you were forced to be in a body on Earth. This is not stuff you want to look at. It's not pleasant. But everything, see, the actual event of being killed by them is one thing. Reptilians know what soul, they know about soul. They don't know how to control it. They know it exists and they know how to dominate its energy field around the being. They know how to misdirect souls through misusing science they did not develop. It really was developed by benevolent beings to do something to keep people from ever getting there, and it was twisted. That's Galactic History 101. That's what started all this. So everybody on Earth has been brought here at one time or another, every single human being, from outside this planet. Everybody on Earth is extraterrestrial in origin because no human being ever evolved here. Most mammalian and plant life was brought here as well, at one time or another, from other world systems where those structures actually evolved. Whales and dolphins aren't native to this planet. There's a lot of things people have hinted at. They've dug up some a little bit here and there, and they each have a peek into the unknown they once used to know, and they're looking to find a way to recover all of it. All of it. So we're, you know, when I talk about DNA, certain genomes being shut down, this is also the misuse of technology. It takes a science that's meant to keep all those genomes working, no disease, no microbial, antiquated, bacterial, parasitical life in our bloodstreams, because in other worlds, they don't have it. There's no parasitical life microscopic on their worlds. They got rid of it. These were the beginning stages of evolution. They're done. They were earlier phases. They were gotten rid of, just like the dinosaur. So if you think about Earth, Earth is like a dumping ground for all the stuff they don't want. It's been a dumping ground for a very long time.
So we're all kind of, well, how did you get here and how did you get here and what you in for kind of thing. So let's go back to that, this lock that you're talking about, because to me, this is the thing that that's part of my mission. You know, how do we unlock that and release the incredible? I mean, we had a gentleman on the show, on the station, 6 hours ago, talking about how humanity is very powerful and has all the, everything within it. So here we are at the place where we receive the key in the little envelope. We're in a nice padded bag.
Right.
How to unlock the DNA by choice, by will.
Here's something I want to get across to all your listeners and to you, because I know you'll relate to it right away. I'm not better or worse than any of you as a being. We're all Atmas, what extraterrestrials call soul. They know what it is. They don't have faith about it. They don't idolize a savior to come back and save them because they don't need a savior. And this is all outside of Earth. And it's what's been brought up and developed here over the last 10,000 years. It's got nothing to do with it at all. It's hard to get across to people who have this fixation on belief versus real experience to turn from using faith as a jumping pad to go into real experience, which is what it was meant to create, except that that's been removed from most places you can access on Earth. You can't get faith to go into experience. You got to believe you're going to find something out after you die. That's ridiculous. Beings who are normal can get in out of their bodies while they're alive. I've been doing it all my life. I mean, this is normal. The primary implant, there are secondary implants in the electromagnetic field. The primary implant is a control implant placed in beings who are captured at one time or another and to make slaves out of them, brought to Earth. And when poles flip, tyrants just leave their slaves behind. Most of them are killed. Few survive. And they procreate with shutdown genomes passed on. Problem. When beings are one way or another incarnate on this planet because of that, they get into bodies with shutdown genomes without really recognizing it, or they're not told. And suddenly when they try to use their higher faculties, like getting in and out of the body and telepathy, they push the buttons, little mechanisms in the brain, and they don't work. The switch doesn't work. And it just confounds people here. They get, what the hell's wrong? How come I can't do what I know I can do? What's going on? Partially, it's the implant that misdirects them from getting to that control source in themselves. And partially, it's the shutdown genomes. This is just technology that's abused, and it's reversible. The new ray I talked about that was brought into creation first got exposed to the Say rays, who were hidden from the races in this galaxy. And then it changed them. Then the Ceres ambassador that I reveal in the book appeared before the entire galactic council meeting near the center of our galaxy, 5,000 member world participants. And when he appeared there, he had a big book under his arm, the Ceres agenda. And it was an agenda involving the new ray to start that they're coming back into the system. They're going to overlook the younger races, and they're going to begin to remove through this new ray the experiment of evil, a failed experiment, because something else has been brought into creation to take its place that actually works. And it undoes the negative technology of implantation in all races out in the galaxy in parallel dimensions and on Earth. It's being done out there first so that the tyrant races never desire to come back here again. When those reptilians are changed properly, they'll be vegetarians once again, like they once were. It's important for people to understand this. They weren't always tyrants like they are. This process is now beginning to unfold on this planet behind the scenes. The leader being contacted, each of us on this radio show are being contacted. Certain events are underway now that cannot be reversed by any power, technology, or being in or out of bodies. That's important to know. It works only one way. Believe me, the military, a hidden industrial complex, has tried to affect a pyramid that appeared out in the asteroid field in our solar system. It's gigantic. It's golden. It's glowing. It's not even visible in this spectrum, but they have other equipment. They can detect it. And it's sending out pulses of energy into our solar system. These pyramids have already been placed between each star in space. And what's coming through them is really interesting, because it liberates consciousness. You'll find that out. When a person comes in contact through this primordial sound that brought all creation into existence, before the lower worlds were made, and we were all part of it, all of us, as beings. I would have to say that we as human beings, if you take the body of the human being out of it, human beings, as atmas, have been around forever. We really don't have a beginning or an end. One very important thing to understand, but the difference between free beings and people on Earth is they know it. They're conscious of it, and they have access and can move in the multidimensional universe freely. That's what our future really is, JP. That's who we're destined to become once again, with much greater wisdom than we had before we were shut down.
Yeah, it's a bit like learning how to jump with weights on. Like footballers trained, you know, load them down with weight sandbags and weights and get them to run around and jump and all of this stuff. And then, like Superman, built on a high gravitational planet, are able to jump great heights when they take the weights off. So
that's right.
Yeah. So we learn to do this thing, one hand tied behind our back, drugged, blindfolded, and with our legs tied together. So
with one fist out.
With one,
to go
come
like
here,
this,
I'll
right?
bite you. I'll bite your nipples.
I'll bite you into submission. Right.
So yeah. So yeah. And I mean, this kind of all, it very much matches with the information that we get. We actually got in the last show as well. Is the Archons leaving, the Reptilians leaving, and in a peaceful manner. It's all very good.
That's right.
It's all very good.
That's right.
It's like everybody really didn't enjoy the whole evil thing. So, well, you know, you were saying, evil as an experiment has been cancelled as an experiment. And, so does that mean, I heard you say something. Does that mean little biting insects like midges will be gone?
Yes.
Thank God for that.
It does. Why? Because they're just little atmas. Animals are, the beings that run animal bodies are just like us. They're atmas. A lot of people don't understand this. Earth is one of the few places left in the galaxy where people eat massive amounts of slaughtered animals for food they don't need. It's conditioning. It's reptilian in nature. We have access to infrared and ultraviolet in our normal human systems through the fourth phase of water. Dr. Gerald Pollack, a friend, goes to great length, is a scientist, clinical scientist, that is head of researcher on fourth phase water. Human bodies are full of this fourth phase water. It's not H2O. It has the capacity to record five different dimensional levels of information like a computer. It gets its charge from infrared and ultraviolet, and it's a telepathic medium to connect to other worlds. It's amazing. They're beginning to understand that scientifically, not that they can access it personally. Certain shamans on Earth do. I've seen them. They can access water and use it as a medium to communicate with other worlds.
If you're lying in the bath. If you're laying in the bath.
Exactly.
You have great inspirations, don't you?
It's oftentimes. That's
or you're
true,
sitting by the river, or you're watching the waterfall.
Right.
There's direct, transdimensional, interdimensional connections going on.
Here's the one thing I wanted to say to all of you. The only reason you're capable of having this show with me and I with you and your listeners listening is because some part of them actually has control over that primary implant. Tyrants don't want anybody to know this is true. The first thing you want to pervert in a being is to get them to forget or not believe that they have command over any form of negativity, negative technology, or negative being. If you can be convinced through terror subconscious programmings that you do not, you can be controlled, manipulated, misdirected. But at the core of our being, we're all very courageous, and we begin to wake up a certain ability, despite the primary implant's influence, to explore and recover. And that's the reason that I wanted to get this across to your listeners, because they are really have more courage and capability than they're led to believe. And this thing that was done to us is all reversible. There is a primordial sound frequency, if you, for lack of a better word, that we use to bring this entire multidimensional universe into creation from the higher worlds above the void of the Buddhists through the lower planes like the etheric, mental, causal, astral, and physical worlds. They all exist. They're real places. And we all live in them. One single Atma is capable of running four or five of these forms in these different dimensions at one time. Because it's a spherical energy. It's not a physical body or an astral body or a causal or a mental body. We get all our emotions from the body we're running, the life we're living in the astral plane. We get all of our mental capability from a life we're living in the mental plane. Tyrants want to disjoin all that, so you have no communication directly with your other aspects of yourself. This makes us controllable, manipulatable. They can't actually kill a soul, but they can manipulate the energy field around it, which is how that misuse of science works. And that's only in the lower worlds, because these kinds of things don't exist in the planes above the void of the Buddhists. I use that as an example, because many of your listeners may not know the differentiation between these planes yet. They may not have remembered. So I'm laying this out now so they can begin to explore it. We're going to get into the sound that human beings on any world and on the other worlds use collectively, because it vibrates just the pineal gland in the center of the brain. In that gland are rods and cones like we have in our physical eyes. But those rods and cones are like little tuning forks, little transmitter receivers that are tuned to other realities, other dimensions, and other planets. And when we learn how to use the pineal gland and what it does, that's the gland we use to get in and out of the body. It's what we use to control the brain. It's through that device, the pineal gland. That's where people look. When you're writing a book, say when I write The Saver's Agenda, I'm actually looking out into the multidimensional universe across time and space and the time track. And I'm doing what's called bilocation. In my case, I do it consciously. I'm here and aware of my presence here, but I'm actually out there exploring what I'm writing about and then feverishly putting it down as the experiential journey unfolds. When I wrote The Saver's Agenda, a being introduced himself to me unexpectedly named Ambassador Torelli. He's the Saver's ambassador. And so the book, towards the later chapters, includes him in it, how he appeared before the Galactic Alliance and what has changed from an off-world perspective out there that's making this transformation of this planet possible for the first time in galactic history. That's how this book got written. It was written after the Parallel Time Trilogy, the first book of which is The Emerald Doorway. There's 30 illustrations in it, by the way. This one got written after because this is more about what's presently going on out there to change everything. And this one's more about the hidden history that everybody's been made to forget, especially involving extraterrestrials, good and bad. They're written almost like fiction stories, but they're extremely entertaining and engaging because they're written in a way that make them visually an adventure for people to go on to get the hidden truth that's in it. If I just wrote it like a clinical, typical nonfiction book, it would be like they went here at this date and then the ship showed up and then at 4:37 p.m. and it's dry. And that's fine if you're a UFO researcher, but I'm not. I would have to say that I am a experiential disclosure researcher of hidden truths.
You know, the original Star Wars, Scott, was very much in that dry phase, and apparently George Lucas's wife said, "Give me that," and she recut it with much with the drama in it that made Star Wars the film that it was. So, good. It's like I don't know. You know, you probably have read any Russian material.
No, I haven't personally. No.
Well, the Russian style of writing is much more in the dramatic. Even technical documents are have adjectives in them. It's probably much more of that. And, you know, we like the big stories. We do love the big stories because they take on our hearts. So I'm waiting, when's the film coming out? Who's going to make it? Who's the director? I'll play me.
Interesting you should say that, but my background is in TV directing and producing. I'm also a fellow composer, musician, guitarist, and singer.
Uh-huh.
I have an album that I sell through Amazon, and I don't sell anything on my website, but all the videos I've been on at major conferences, how I present, how I conduct presentations, how I involve the attendees, you can go to my website at paralleltime.com and get all of that for free. I even have a special recording at the website. It's under About Scott-Hugh. H-U is this primordial secret word that goes off planet and didn't originate on this planet. We're going to get into that. No one organization or any organization on this earth ever created it or invented it or copyrighted or patented it or owns it because they didn't invent it.
Is it because we're human?
That's correct. It's hidden right in plain sight by tyrants to slap us in the face. It's the first part of the word human being, actually. That's interesting. That's very insightful. It's so simple, you'd never get it. And then you wouldn't know how to use it because it's just HU. What do you do with it? Well, there is something you can do with it that will connect people into beings that can help provide protection and continuing unfoldment in reversing this process while you're here on Earth. I know because I'm a living example of it.
I heard an interview, and I think it was... Max Spears who spoke about it. Or it was one of those super soldier fellows. Anyway, he was under great attack from a strange interdimensional reptilian type. And he just spontaneously went, "Hew!" And he said these little floating Buddhas appeared and, sent these fellows packing.
That's exactly right. You know, when I was on when I was on Coast to Coast some years ago with George Neri, a 3-hour live show, at the end of it, and I revealed a lot of this stuff back then, he asked me, he says, you mean to tell me that if I was approached by a reptilian who wanted to have me for supper, if I sent this you out right then, it would save me and get rid of it? And I said, that's exactly what I'm telling you. And I don't think he got it then. He has so many guests. I think he kind of remembers who I am. I haven't endeavored to get back on the show again just to sell books, which isn't really my focus anyway. But I did meet him in person at the Conscious Life Expo, a special meeting there to award people like Whitler Strieber and also the guy that puts on the Joshua Tree event is for a Lifetime Achievement Awards. And I reminded him that his producer, Lisa Lyons, had I talked with him last year to get on the show again after 4 years. And she was very excited. I had changes to tell her about the book and the new one I'd published. And then I never heard from her again. George just said, well, she keeps him so busy running around, you know, interview after interview, she probably just lost track of it. So he wanted me to keep in touch with them. But anyway, that was revealed then. And it takes a little while once people feel it and hear it to connect in their own lives. They begin to remember dreams. They begin to remember where they go out of their body at night more, which is what begins this process. When you're in a higher body form, you're more open and capable of making better decisions with beings that can help you to undo this, because they have to have your true conscious free will, co-creative free will involved in the process. They aren't like tyrants. They don't just wave a magic wand, take these things out of people. Because at the core of our being, we have the ability to dominate this stuff, and we're doing it right now in this conversation. The primary implant is designed to not let us have this radio show at all. Guess what? Doesn't work. We're overdoing it, overriding it. Doesn't mean we don't suffer from it, but we're able to override it. And I want to point that out to your listeners and you, to encourage them, pat them on the back, because they already have made that advancement.
Yeah, you may have noticed me kind of doing this. There are nitty-gritty, itty-bitty, scritty little things that are kind of making me feel like I'm being tiny little insects that we call midges here in Scotland. This is what I was saying.
You got them. Oh, yeah, I see. Got them there. Yeah.
It's the summer, you know.
They're biting little buggers, aren't they?
They certainly are. So, yeah, good riddance. That's what I say. I'll see you, sayonara. So, the Hue men, the Hue beings,
That's us.
We are many hues, but this particular hue. All right. So, as a musician, you know, I'll understand, you know, what is pitch? Pitch. Different. Those are different pitches.
The hue is done. Right.
How do we do the hue?
The hue is done on a comfortable tone of your choice. I want to point out that even a blind person or a deaf person, if they're communicating through sign language some other way, they aren't deaf or blind necessarily in the next body up in the astral plane, their emotional body. They see and hear on the inner quite well. I know a blind person who sees and hears better than people. He can't see through his physical eyes, but he sees imaginatively in color. I mean, it's this, people don't understand this. So when he knows about the hue or works with it, he'll do it on a comfortable tone of his choice, or he can also do it silently on a bus just by remembering it, recalling it, and doing it in his imagination. Because the imagination is not created in the brain between our ears. There's no motion picture camera and screen in our brain to do that. What people don't realize is when they're imagining, say, they close their eyes and they're imagining a beautiful woman by a waterfall with butterflies and hummingbirds flying around her. They're actually looking somewhere through the pineal gland at some place where that exists. Writers get their information from reality. There is no fiction. What jumbles up fiction and writing is the implants, depending on whether they're on or off from one day to the next. What you bring back is partial memory instead of the full memory. This is what happens because of implants and because certain genomes are shut down in the DNA, so it makes it difficult. The hue begins to set people free from this. It sounds in my tone just like this. You get comfortable in a chair or lying on your back. Imagine someone or something you love and you're grateful for having in your life. Person, place, or thing, as long as it's genuine. Then you just send this out on the outgoing breath. Take a couple relaxing breaths. You'll notice your imagination is focused right about here. Wherever you close your eyes and see things, that's the screen of your imagination. And it's there where you look and listen when we do the hue, and it goes out like this. You. Round hole tone. You remember the Om that came out of India that was so popular years ago? When people do that, it vibrates the throat and the chest area. Aum. The hue only vibrates the cranium upward. Only upward. It's important for people to have the experience for themselves. My words are meaningless unless they can have the actual experience of remembering this. The hue helps that happen. And the beings it connects people to help that happen. When a person asks for it, not before. They aren't intrusive. They don't work psychically. They don't get into anybody's mind or field of energy. They can see you telepathically and talk with you and link with you telepathically, which is not a control. It's communication, pure and simple. And they can see where implants are and they can remove them. And I work with people like this. I mean, I know this process. It's not something that I promote myself as being an implant remover because practically speaking, I'm one person. I can't remove the implants from 7 billion people. They're going to have to do that. My friends are all going to have to do that. Massive numbers of them, billions of them are involved now. And part of that is focused on this planet, which is a very good thing indeed. When I do the hue for 4 or 5 times, say maybe before I go to bed at night, before I'm going into dreamland, which is really leaving your body, by the way, I will do it maybe 5 times and I'll play with it. Maybe I'll take it up 5 successive tone levels. I love doing that. Raises the vibration significantly, physically, psychically, spiritually, in every way. And then I will send out this statement. Safely show me deliberately hidden truth on a grand multidimensional scale and the much greater knowing of the expansive love within it. The words are constructed very carefully. And then I go about hewing for 10 or 15 minutes and I'll notice there's a phenomena. Everyone will notice it. They just come to a stop. They just stop. That's quite a phenomena. Then you go to bed without giving it a second thought as to whether you have experience or not. But here's what happens. When people send out the hue, the beings I work with hear this. They hear you do it. They do it themselves. I do it. The very same things I share with others, I practice myself. And it really helps to undo this madness. One thing it does almost immediately is begin to detach the person from the showmanship that's out there of negative Holocaust and Armageddon and North Korea and all that stuff that's designed to affect through the satellite system, the primary implant, and keep it turned on. Implants only get energy to run off us. If you can get a being to split the one proper use of their imagination into two directions at once, opposed to each other, the good and bad, I love my family and I want a good destiny and happiness and abundance for myself, but I'm terrorized about my future and destiny and the destiny of the planet. Splits the imagination in half, short circuits the ability for people to manifest, getting to the core of their being and waking up, and then they can be manipulated from outside things. The hue brings this imagination. It's kind of like, oh, where do I have that? I have an old symbol of, the yin. Oh, well, you know what the yin and yang symbol is, the two teardrops circling around each other, the yin and yang. You know what it is? Oh, yeah. Here it is. Remember, you've seen this.
Yes.
Right? All right. This is the positive and negative forces that run through the 4 lower dimensions to create and manifest form below the void of the Buddhas only. It's meant to be encapsulated by one pure energy so that they always remain in harmony. What tyrants do is split these two things in the imagination in a person to run them separately opposed to each other so that they've got one direction where they want things to go right and one direction where it's all terror and negative, and then it neutralizes a person's ability. All emotions that are negative, like fear, doubt, speculation, theory, anger, revenge, these are all artificially created negative emotion charges in implants that affect the nervous system. They're not real. They aren't even part of normal human beings. Human beings in other worlds do not have fear, doubt, speculation, or any of these things. They don't even work with them. I don't work with them. I don't work with fear, doubt, speculation, or theory at all. Not at all. Waste of time completely. So the hue will take this split and do this with it. Almost immediately when you do it, you'll feel it. And then the consciousness becomes more energized and capable of perceiving in 360 degrees and looking in the universe and beginning to recall and remember all they once knew. I know I'm still going through the process. I go through the process. I've been doing it for 35 years. I still have a primary implant in me. The secondary ones are gone. What do I mean by secondary ones? They are implants that are tied to your individual path and past lives when you were trapped. They're triggered to keep you focused on this, so it'll keep the primary implant fed. If you take your imagination away from fear of the future, fear of your own destiny, fear of death, it automatically shuts down the primary implant, like has happened right now between us. That's off, or we wouldn't be having this conversation. And it will stay off as long as our imagination is focused on benevolent outcomes only. The new ray I talked about, woven in the hue when we begin to do it, that first affected extraterrestrials' race in a benevolent way, and now us, it works to retire evil as an experiment or to undo the implant process and all the negative emotions and replace it with the motivation and energy to only imagine and create that which will be of uplifting, beneficial value to all life. All life on other worlds everywhere, even tyrants, because that's our true nature creatively from the source to be like this. We've been made to forget that, but we're beginning to recall it. In my primary implant, I know what's in it, and it's nonsense. I don't pay any attention to it. It's crap. So even though I haven't had that taken out, I've had it neutralized aboard ship and in other ways. You'll read about it. But in my case, I still have that to go through along with everybody else. So we're all in this boat together. And I'm very dedicated to what I'm doing to help bring this change about with friends from out of town. Billions of them. And they're all kind and they're all loving and they don't have subconscious minds and they've never been implanted. They were never part of the captured reptilian thing. We were. Obviously, we got caught in that. So I really want to bring that to the table for people. If they send out the hue, in fact, if you do one with me, you're going to notice an immediate connection. Something's going to uplift in your world in Scotland. Just you.
The little thing at the end there.
Yeah. Now, when you do that in your privacy of your own sanctuary, your own domain, the sacredness of your own consciousness.
And in my own frequency.
In your own frequency. And
I,
you can
I got
take
these
it up
frequencies
tones.
In my head. They whistle away me all the time.
Exactly.
It's
that's
that,
the sound
it's that
current.
Note. Hang on. You, if it was a you, that sort of note, about 4, 5, 6 octaves above that. It's very high. Like it.
Yeah, that I want to tell you that that high, thin sound of a note of a flute.
Oh no, it's higher than a flute. Higher than a flute. It's.
I know.
It's like,
I know what it is.
Yeah. You can hear it. In.
Yeah, I hear it right now. And that is actually, and here's what I wanted to get across to you. When you hear when you listen to the hue on this level, there's a series of overtones going on above it, as you know. Way up high, you can hear. What's something you can't even produce with vocal cords on earth? It's way up there. That is coming from your existence on what's called the Atma plane, which is above the void of the Buddhas, the first plane of the upper worlds. That's the first place you connect to through the hue, right here on Earth, bypassing all the rest of it. And the beings out in the universe that do this also, bypassing any negativity, begin to work with us, begin to help us. First in our dream state at night, more clarity. We can begin to be asked of permission of true free will when we're not being run by implants there or astrally. If we want to go further, then we go further. Then they can help remove them, take them out, dissolve them, etc. But it has to be a co-creative, real free will choice of the person who's participating. And that's something that's raising the frequency of the entire planet is underway to get people up to where they can make that decision. That process is also revealed in the Ceres Agenda book. It just is. If people want to get that, they can go to paralleltime.com, P-A-R-A-L-L-E-L-T-I-M-E, and the links to all of the, like, Barnes & Noble and Amazon, wherever they need to get an ebook or trade paperback are there, but I don't sell anything at the website. They'll take them to a trustworthy online retailer and they can get it that way if they want to. The hue recorded, the hue of my voice in three-part harmony is on the link at the top of the page. It says about Scott-you, and it's 24 minutes and it's rolled continuously. People can get a real charge singing with it or play it, and it's free just by going to my website if they want to have something to work with. So I wanted to put that out, and then videos they can watch of me doing presentations at conferences are there. They're free. Radio shows I've been on, they're free, just so people know.
That's fabulous. The it's very good to be able to offer solutions as well to the people here on the show. So thank you very much, Robert. So Scott, let's see if there's any more questions in the chat room here. Oh, there we go. People, there's some cross chat about chakras. Mick, from Glasgow. Hi, Mick. How you doing, Mick? Another musician, actually. He is asking, about the, he says he's had contact with, and healings from, what he calls the Blue Team. Is that at all familiar to you? Is there a blue team?
Not under those terms. You're talking about the blue avians that Corey Good talks about or something like that, or?
I don't think we're talking about the blue avians. We'll see if Mick has any clarity on that. Have you got any more clarity on that, Mick? Put a bit more detail and we'll put something in there. So what else is there? Let's just check.
Let me answer Mick first.
Yeah, go on.
If he's received good of things from the blue group, a lot of the energies that work off the mental plane are blue in color. That doesn't make them bad. It's four planes up from here. Some of the associates I work with are there. And that is primarily a blue field of energy, and they might be a blue group. You might want to think about it that way. There may be a group out in our galaxy that function in that energy. In fact, I know there are. If as long as it's their intent is pure and their intent is to liberate, it's a good thing. That's my answer to Mick.
Yeah. I think that in terms of contacts and things like that, if they're leaving your memory intact and you remember what they're doing and they're doing nice things to you, it's very
good
likely
point.
That they're good people and they're actually your people. Oh, no, he says, yes, it's the blue
point.
Avians, he says, yes.
All right. Well, I look at them as a small, benevolent group operating in the big galactic alliance. It's a more local group. You know, as the reptilian command ships are gone, most of them on Earth in hidden bases are gone. There haven't been any annihilations and blowing up and all that kind of stuff because it doesn't done that way. It's done more gradually and carefully to protect all life. And that means good guys and bad guys included. We're all in this together. Tyrants are just tyrants because they're subconsciously programmed to behave that way. They would like to be free of it just as much as we would.
The contactee, Alex Collier, who I speak with quite a lot, has spoken about the tyranny that appears in the universe 800 years in the future. Has this been averted? Has this basically been nipped in the bud? Because it was, you know, and what's your side of that story? Is there a story? Is there a your side of that story?
Yes. And yes. I share this with people. The prophesied destructive destiny for Earth, Nostradamus, biblical or other off-world prophecies, what people have picked up on decades ago, especially when Alex started his mission, this was a true future. We would have had a third nuclear war already. We would have had a lot of things. But about 6.5 years ago, a little more than that now, Earth time, something changed out in the universe, which all permanently altered the prophesied Armageddon destructive destiny for this planet. Permanently altered it. One of the things that's been done by the silent mentors, who I have not talked about much, the mechanics of the universe, they've gone through a consciousness change too, and they've permanently suspended the polar flips of this planet. I don't know if you know this, JP, but the poles were leaning further and further over last year. A few months ago, they came back to where they were a couple hundred years ago. They're not going to flip. No more ice age to iron age for this planet. You can't have a planet evolving for billions, millions, and hundreds of millions of years with human beings join the rest of the universe on a planet that flips its poles. You get the most 100,000-year culture, and then it's wiped out. Either get off the planet or you die with the catastrophe.
It's like trying to speak on coast to coast. Scott, we are at the end of 2 hours. Fabulous time. Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure. My pleasure completely. Thank you for having me.
We also have what we call the Galactic Interstellar Council on Thursdays. So if you would care to join us at that time, that would be fabulous.
I will do so. Yes, I would love to.
Or, you know, random things like that. It would be lovely. We have various hosts who would be very interested in speaking with you, I'm sure. So, Robert.
Can you send me any details about that?
I'll get Viking in touch with you if you like. I'll give you his Skype and, I'll give him your Skype and there we go. That will work.
Okay.
There we are.
JP, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Scott. So there we go.
I send the hue out to all of your friends and all of their listeners for their benefit. That's the only reason I do this.
There we go. Thank you so much, Robert. I keep calling you Robert because it's written on the thing. Scott Lemriel.
That's okay.
It's the R that asks for
that. That's okay.
This was Ever Beyond, and coming up next is the World Healers Group. So thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Beyond.